Welcome back to the Gospel Fantasy Football Show. Man, if you guys are anything like me, you loved every minute of the draft. Just kind of trying to figure out what was coming next, seeing if people went where you thought they would fit best, seeing if people fell, seeing if people got drafted too early, whatever the case may be. Now we're going to be able to have a conversation today about how we feel about landing spots and what that's going to look like for the fantasy landscape moving forward this year. I am your Jose, the Fantasy Football Fiend. I got my guys, Young Vander and Bro Joe. Young Vander, the Fantasy Nostradamus. Holla at the people, my guy.
What's going on out there?
And my guy, Bro Joe, the rookie aficionado. Holla at him, bro.
What's going on, family?
All right. Remember, we are on YouTube at the Gospel STP. Again, that's the Gospel STP. If you have not joined the Facebook group, go ahead and do that. The Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. But let's hop right into it. Man, so there is no more guessing. We know exactly who went where. Even if we did not foresee some of the spots, we're going to go right through starting with quarterbacks, and we're going to go in the order that they were drafted in. Cam Ward, we obviously knew where he was going. Not really much of a reason to speak on him. What we thought about him before the draft is what we think about him now, because nothing changed. He went exactly where we thought he was going. Jackson Dart, second quarterback drafted, is a New York Giant. How do we feel about Dart? Is this the best possible situation for him? Arrow pointing up, arrow pointing down as to the comparison to how you felt about him prior to the draft. Bro Joe, why don't you go ahead and start us out?
Yeah, I think this is a good spot relative to Dynasty. I don't really think the redraft, I wouldn't put much stock into it. If he does start, I think it's coming after like 8 to 10 games or something like that. This is, I can't say it's a stock up, but I think this is right where you, well, most of me and both men had him as our second quarterbacks, but I think this is a good spot, a good opportunity for him because they got some weapons. They got some things to work with, but I think the growing pains should be shared first between Russell and Jameson. Just give him a year to develop. He's a good quarterback, but I think having a year in the system, we've seen it time and time again. Look at players like Patrick Mahomes, someone who had the opportunity to sit behind it, and look at Jordan Love, but that was 4 years. But he'd be really interested in the system, know all the terminology and everything. He might start eight, ten games into the season. So we'll see.
I mean, I think this is only a good spot at this coaching staff be here for a while, because I mean Dable is really on the hot seat in a way.
That's true.
Now you can very well have a new coach come in and this is not his guy, and then that point is not a good idea. Is not good, right? So I think that pick was kind of made off the strength of the son of the GM who told his dad to draft Jaden Daniels and he didn't do it, and see how that turned out. And this year he said he liked Dart and he's like, he's not gonna fall for that again, and this is what we got,
I guess. If we just gonna go with what your son say, then why am I paying you millions of dollars to figure out the draft? Like, I don't like. Never mind. At any rate, that was kind of interesting. That was the most interesting part of that, I guess, the debate within the draft room of he was right this time last year, because I mean he probably listened to the show because we told everybody that it was Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams. So all he really had to do was listen to us, and he would have got it right. But, who am I? Just saying. Tyler Shaw is a saint. Is this going to be a guy that ends up sneaking up on people that don't realize that Carr may or may not miss this season based on that surgery? Is he going to be the next guy up, or is it going to be Rattler? Or how are we looking at the Tyler Shaw situation with the Saints? Vander, why don't you start us out?
I mean, he's kind of a project in a way, but not so much. I mean, Carr probably not going to play this year. Who knows what that's like. And with that being said, he's probably going to end up being a starter. I mean, he's older. The guy been in college 7 years, so he should be ready to go. He's been in the oven for a long time. You know what I mean? So I guess Kellen Moore think this guy kind of fits his mold of quarterback that he likes. And we're going to see. I mean, he just came out of nowhere. It's not really the play It's just the intangibles and the size and different things like that that got this guy drafted, in my opinion.
One thing about it with Kellen Moore, he can make a quarterback that might not be quite as good look a lot better than what he actually is. Example, Dak Prescott being in a top five offense, even though I don't believe anyone would consider him to be a top five quarterback. You can have that sort of assimilation depending on the style of offense that's being ran. And that could bode well for him, coupled with the fact that you probably don't have to pay much of anything for him. And Kellen Moore is in a situation that's a little bit different than some other coaches. He drafted this guy. So if it don't work out, that's on you, my guy. That's the other piece to this. So he's going to do everything possible to ensure that he brings him along in a way that there's going to be success, even if it isn't the highest ceiling that they foresaw for him. He's kind of in a position where I think he's going to be set up that he can't fail. Rattler was another regime. Carr was two regimes ago. So, yeah. What are your thoughts on Tyler Shaw, Brojo?
I think he's going to get his opportunities for sure. But at the same time, with a second-round pick, they can just, if there's another quarterback they see next year, they can just go ahead and do it all over again. Like Randy said, it's a lot of starts that come with him. He has the tangible, especially being 6'5", and, you know, what he's able to do for Louisville last year. It was all right. You know what I mean? I think, like you said, Kellen Moore has a way of adapting and being really adaptive to whomever. Because look what he did with Hurts in just this 1 year. How he just turned that offense night and day to what it was. So he's going to put him in this situation. Is it going to be comparable to fantasy football? I honestly find it difficult to say what they have going on for them in the offense, the retirement of their tackle, especially. I wouldn't put too much into him, but at the same time, if you got him a value, you won.
I'm going to stick with you, Rojo. The Seahawks got Jalen Mirrell. How are you feeling about this? Is this just a guy that's on the roster? Do you think that Sam Darnold ends up being the guy long-term there? Like, how are we feeling about the situation? And I'm going to you first, obviously, because this is your squad.
So I think with him, it's a good opportunity for him to have 1 to 2 years to be in this offense. I honestly think he's going to get an opportunity if Darnold don't even look right, just how Darnold's contract wasn't structured. It could be easily as simple as a one-year deal, not as long as we have him. So I think Miller's going to do really well. Honestly, it's almost like a field situation where I think even if he does, if he plays spot duty, we know he can do scrambling the football, and I think it's a good opportunity for him to even sit. And it's going to be a perfect offense when it's all said and done with all the talent they drafted at tight end and wide receiver. So
Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders both go to the Browns in the 3rd and 5th rounds, respectively. How are we feeling now about the Browns QB situation as a whole? What ends up playing out here? Do we just stay away from the Browns as far as the QB situation is concerned? Vander, what you got for us?
Well, I mean, you just said, why do we pay you millions to make decisions? And this is a team that's paying somebody money to make decisions. And look at the decisions that they're making. Yeah. When it comes to Shedeur, I mean, let's just face it. Some owners, I'm not going to say all, but some people band together in order to sink this ship.
Oh, for sure.
This organization, like $45 million. And they already in contract hell with a guy like Watson. And then they give a first round quarterback some money, like $40 million guaranteed. You just added more to that. So the people banded together in order to sink the ship and get pennies on the dollar for the value. They're kind of talking out both sides of their mouth, like you like to say, to draft, you know, a guy like Dillon Gabriel, which is a wasted pick in my opinion. Third round is you can really find some talent in the third round. I thought they could have bolstered their roster. And the turnaround.
They should have drafted a wide receiver. That's what they should have done.
I mean, then to turn around and draft Shedeur and then be like, well, he was just such a great value. We had to take him right here. Dillon Gabriel would have been in the fifth round. I mean, let's talk about it. Like, this is a 5'11 quarterback. Why size don't matter now? No pun intended, ladies. You know what I'm saying? But why size don't matter now? You know, any other time it's, oh, this guy too small, da da da. But you just drafted a 5'11 quarterback from Hawaii. That's to play in the cold. Let's forget he's gonna be playing in Cleveland. So this is a warm temperature guy, climate guy. Like a that's like getting Tua and getting him to play in Buffalo.
It don't work.
It's not gonna look good. You know what I mean? So Shadua the best. Let's just face it, man. I mean, he's the best quarterback in the room, and I just hope they give him an opportunity to do well. As far as Dylan Gabriel, he makes plays. I mean, but on the college level, I thought he was drafted to be a backup.
That's what you don't draft a backup in the third round.
A point was trying to be made. That's it. It's a point trying to be made.
So what I just want to say, like with Dylan Gabriel, I agree with y'all. I don't think he should have went in the third. I think honestly, if you would have told me he'd have been a fourth round pick or a fifth round pick, sixth round pick, I'm to y'all. So everything you're saying, I agree with. But if they saw value in him in the third, let's just say they actually saw value, which I would find crazy. I think the value would have been in the fourth or fifth round. He actually really fits this offense relatively well. And I think if it wasn't for, to my personal opinion, I think if Flacco's going to get it, Dennis Pickett, Dennis whomever, third pecking order, he has a fair opportunity to make this team and be a contributor. I think this is a good, this is going to be a good, to me, battle between him and Shador, because I mean, he's 5'11", but aside from that, what he's able to do in 64 starts is impressive. He had 4 head coaches, 7 offensive coordinators, and then what he did the last 2 years at Oklahoma, then the last year at Oregon. I mean, I can't really say. I think it's pretty interesting. That's what I'll just say. I'm not saying he's going to be worth anything. He might be Matt Corral. Like Matt Corral came out a couple years, same attributes, same height, and then we saw him just flare out of the Panthers. But we talking about somebody who's smart, intelligent, know how to throw the ball, know how to put this where it needs to go, and that can really process the offense and do what needs to be done. If they saw value, I think it's worth a taxi, obviously, in Dynasty, but it has to be something there. He does have the tangibles. I can just say that.
My thing is, in the third round, I still want to draft sure shots, or as sure as close as possible. He is the very definition of a project quarterback, and if you get everything perfectly, he may be a long-term backup. That's about his ceiling. But the thing about it is like you were going to have guys like, you know, Kyle McCord that went in the sixth round, Will Howard went in the sixth round, Riley Leonard went in the sixth round. He's one of them. Like I'm not doing that in the third round. Moving on over to running back, Ashton Jeanty went to the Raiders to be paired up with Pete Carroll, and he is now being deemed as Beast Mode 2.0. What are we thinking about the landing spot? What are we thinking about the situation? Up, down, just what we thought it would be as far as in comparison to when we were given our assessments pre-draft. Where are we at with this guy?
I mean, his A's crossed the board. Perfect. He couldn't ask for a better situation. Perfect landing spot. Perfect offensive scheme. Perfect head coach. I mean, he good money. Like, there's no perfect setup for him. He's probably a top 5 to 6 dynasty running back at this point. I mean, I don't know what to say. It's just a perfect landing spot. The whole nine. So
I'm looking at him as a mid to late second round pick in redraft. I'm not saying that I'll be going after him, but I think that's where he'll be drafted is what I'm saying.
Well, no, I think he'll be drafted in the first round.
In the first round?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, you tend to
in 2 QB leagues or super flex leagues, same feeling?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, probably late because, like, again, there's only maybe about 4 or 5 running backs going to be in front of him. So if you're in a 12-team league, you may see one receiver, maybe a Jamar Chase or a guy like that. But Yeah, he's going to be the next guy up. I mean, after you get past, you got to understand, McCaffrey is now dipped. So once you get past the Gibbs, the Bijans, and the Barkleys, guess who's staring you in the face? Him.
You take Jeanty over Derrick Henry in redraft?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I'm not mad at the person that does, but what I'm saying is, in a redraft league, I'm not mad when the person does it because this is, he is the offense. I mean, there is no running. Lamar Jackson is still taking yardage and rushing touchdowns away from Derrick, even though Derrick's, you know, playing a whole clip. But
yeah, Baltimore probably going to score a lot more touchdowns than the Raiders, too.
Maybe. But, I mean, he is the focal point of the offense.
Joe, you feel the same way?
I honestly still want Derrick Henry. But what I can say is this, and I think what we all going to like about him is that 5 yards is 5 yards for him. He ain't dancing. He ain't doing too much. He's going to still make you miss, don't get me wrong. But he ain't got too much with his game. He's really efficient. He's really effective in what he does. And that has value with it in a future of offense. So I should make too much. I wouldn't be surprised if he went. He's going to go likely towards the back end in the first on swing. That's just going to come with the territory. But I think it is warranted considering the value he's walking into that he's going to be a top running back. And he can still catch. Everybody forget that about him. He can catch 50, 60 passes this year as well, too. He's really talented and has good hands as a running back.
Omarion Hampton goes to the Chargers. So we have kind of that thunder and lightning situation going on with the Chargers between Najee Harris, who they just got as a free agent. And now, honestly, I don't even know if I want to call Omarion Hampton lightning because he's got thunder too. Like they'll use them in tandem, but he's whatever you need him to do, guy. If you need him to go up the middle, you need to go in between the tackles, you need him to go around the tackle. He can do whatever that needs to be, but how do we feel this backfield ends up flushing out?
This bebop and rock steady, you know what I'm saying? For you old Ninja Turtle fans, you know what I'm saying? But I give it an A as well because, I mean, again, you falling in the scheme. I mean, we know what Harbaugh going to do. He's going to run the ball to the airs out of it, right? So you're going to get the opportunity. And if you're a fantasy guy, this guy's going to get a lot of opportunity. Dynasty leagues, of course, he's probably in the top 10 as well as far as dynasty best is concerned. And, I mean, you can't ask for a better landing spot for him.
For me, he's a guy that I'll be targeting in redraft because I think his range of outcomes is going to kind of be up there. But I don't believe his average draft position is going to be nearly as high as Jeanty. I think you'll better get him possibly third, fourth round, just because, especially when we're looking at Superflex, those people that went for those top-notch running backs in that first round, they're probably not going to go back to the well again at running back, so they're going to be trying to get that first QB or trying to get that top-notch wide receiver that no one got in the first round based on everyone going running back. And you can kind of, you know, zig when other people are zagging. So I don't feel like his average draft position is going to be nearly as high as Jeanty, but I do believe his range of outcomes is going to be pretty good based on the offense that he's going to be running.
It's not going to be high as Jeanty because there's a guy in front of him. Jeanty is the guy day one. He's RB1.
I don't know that Harris will be quote unquote in front of him.
Yeah, he was bought there to be the starter.
I hear you.
Now, by season end, something may change, but
I don't know that it'll take that long. And the reason I'm saying that is, okay, let me ask you this. Omarion Hampton or Jalen Warren?
I mean, if we're talking about third down back, I'm going to take Warren. If we're talking about,
I'm just saying apples to apples.
In a PPR, I'm taking Warren.
So, same offense, you taking Warren over Hampton. That's your?
In a PPR, I would like Warren.
I don't feel the same way. But my point is this. I saw Warren in comparison to Harris in Pittsburgh, and I liked what I saw out of Warren more than what I liked what I saw out of Harris. And I think that with the Chargers, you're going to end up seeing the same thing. The Harris just doesn't have the burst. Like, he doesn't have that he doesn't have that gear anymore. And you can see it. Say again?
Arthur Smith jail. Trust me, he's a little bit.
So one running back is in jail and the other one not?
No, I mean.
I'm just talking about how they both looked when running in the offense. It didn't look right.
Harris going to be all right. He with the right guy now. These are the guys that turn nothing to something. I mean, this is.
Agreed. I agree with that. But I just feel that Hampton has that extra gear that Harris does. Hampton is, if you blended Harris and Warren together, it would be Hampton. So he just has that extra something that Harris doesn't have that I feel like won't know what you're about to do in your offense if he's out there. If Harris is out there, we kind of know 9 times out of 10 about that.
The breaks, because we've seen North Carolina the last couple of years. The North Carolina running backs has been pumped up, and they haven't been producing what we thought it's going to be. Hold on. I would
agree with that if they weren't drafted by Harbaugh. To your point, I've never seen him go after a guy that he didn't have a plan for. And what I'm saying is, if he has a plan for Hampton, I can see that plan working out to be better than what was going on with Harris. That's all I'm saying.
Let's just wait and see, because the North Carolina running backs have not been doing that well once they stepped in the NFL. We've seen Javonte, and we've seen what's the other kid that came out with Javonte?
Javonte was doing well until he got hurt.
Yeah, that was a catastrophic knee.
What were the two running backs that came out back to back? The Javonte and the one that came with him.
Where'd he go? You remember where he went?
UNC, the UNC running backs.
Do you remember where he got drafted to?
Oh, it was in Carolina.
Because I can't remember the running back, but if you tell me where he got drafted to, I probably know the depth chart.
Man, I know that they came out together. They was like dual running backs at North Carolina.
In the Western Carolina.
Said, yeah, Michael Carter. So again, these guys, it's Michael Carter. So these guys were looked at as, and they get that up. But it didn't really quite pan out. So let's just wait.
Didn't Michael Carter get hurt too? I thought, didn't he have like a bad knee injury or something?
I don't know.
Pretty sure he had a bad knee injury, if I'm not mistaken. But I mean, but I hear where you, whether it be injury, whether it be lack of protection. So essentially what you're saying is the pattern that they're creating is similar to an Alabama quarterback.
As of late.
Okay.
So
I'll take that. Quinshon Judkins. Joe. Quinshon goes to Cleveland. How are we feeling about Cleveland's backfield? They got Quinshon Judkins, and then later on, I believe they got Dylan Simpson, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Same backfield.
I ain't even worried.
Does this put Ford as like RB3 now, or like they're probably going to cutting him? Like what's going on with his backfield?
I think honestly, it's Quinshon all the way, and then Jerome and I'm going to, almost like the Batman movie when Joker broke the pool stick and told them to duke it out, pretty much. That's going to be exactly what Jerome and Simpson are going to do. They both good backs, right? What they're going to be asked to do. But Quinshon is the next Nick Chubb, pretty much. That's his workload. And that's why they brought him over there, honestly. So that's I got the short one right there.
What you got, Vander?
Nah, I love it, man. It should be interesting to see how this whole thing unfolds. I think this is Judkins' backfield, though, going into it. He would be the guy I would want to own. And, you know, Sampson may be more of a hell of a handcuff at this point. Chubb is not coming back. I think he's got Ford.
He's a free agent, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think he's free. He's not coming back forward. So I think these young guys are about to take over that backfield. But Judkins is the guy to own for sure.
We have Travion Henderson, who gets drafted by my New England Patriots. I'll take the liberty of starting with this one, fellas. So, for fantasy purpose, I don't like it. I don't. The reason that I don't is because you remember how, Vander, how you said that now that things have kind of switched up in New England, we no longer have the RB carousel of fantasy football hell? Well, guess what? We have multiple running backs, and we have the OC that led the running back hit and carousel. So I don't know if Henderson is James White. Does he play that role? because Stevenson definitely couldn't. I mean, we don't have another running back that could. We know someone is going to play that role in McDaniel's offense. And then you got Gibson and you have Stevenson. So I just feel like this is going to really be reminiscent of New England running back approach of old, which tend to upset fantasy owners week over week because you just never knew what you were going to get because they were going to set everything up based on the opponent, which does make sense, real world NFL. So because he's my Buckeye and because he went to New England, I'll definitely be getting the jersey and I'll definitely be rooting him on. But for fantasy purposes, I just don't know if I want to go back to what could be that helter-skelter Patriots running back committee that we've always seen when McDaniels was the OC. So I don't know if I'm overreacting. I know Bill Belichick isn't there anymore, but he really didn't touch the offense when McDaniels was there. And I don't think Rabel is going to be touching the offense very much, which is why he brought McDaniels back. He's trying to kind of set up that same scenario of old where he's kind of the overseer and he's taking care of defense, which is his baby, and McDaniels is taking care of the offense, which is his baby. So am I overreacting? Is it a good point? Like, where are we in the range of outcomes for New England running backs and Travion Henderson specifically?
I like the running back more than I like the spot he fell to. So I'm giving this like this is like a C plus, and it's really on the blend. Like you said, I think he's probably the most talented guy in the role, but he's probably going to be the guy. He excels so much with catching the ball. I think that's what they're going to be asking him to do. So he's
James White role.
Yeah. He's the guy to own definitely the PPR, and Stevenson made more in the standard league. But I like this kid. I just don't like where he's falling. So to your point, this is probably another one of those, who knows, you know, a mystery. You know, it's a mystery. I just stay far away from it, me personally.
I think you have a decent floor for PPR to your point.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if it'll equal out with where you may have to draft him. Bro Joe, thoughts?
Nah, that's not enough. Honestly, what a player, but not the team. So I'm agreeing with that.
RJ Harvey goes to the Broncos. This is a guy that I believe is going to be a value in redraft because most people aren't looking for him. But this is what I can tell you. If Sean Payton goes after a running back in the second round, he didn't do it for that guy to sit. I can tell you that right now. But most people aren't going to immediately have him in the upper echelons of outcomes. I think he could be like this year. Like I think he could be one of those rookie running backs that steps up early and often. And in that offense, he'll have every opportunity. So I'm definitely liking the spot and the running back as far as Harvey to the Broncos is concerned. Bro Joe, why don't you start us out with RJ?
Yeah, it's the spot in the player. So this is phenomenal. This is like an A. I'm not worried about Estimate. I'm not worried about McLaurin, Cohen, whatever his name was. That's how much irrelevant I don't care about him. Because, like you said, this kid is a dynamic player. Some people are like, oh, he's 209 pounds. The stature of this kid, the build of this kid, he can take a fairly good workload. I'm not going to compare him to Phillip Lindsay because I feel like that's short end of how octane this kid is. Like, he makes big plays, and he makes them often. And so that's why I can stop where the comparison is. But we're talking about somebody who was small, who nobody saw coming, that can handle a fair workload in Denver. But like you said, it's short. Sean Payton don't really waste picks. Look at, you know, what he was able to do with Kamara. He touted Kamara early on after drafting him. So that's what I like about Sean Payton. He's a straightforward guy. If he likes somebody, he's going to take – he said about Marvin Mims. I love Marvin Mims. He was working first-round pick. He's one of my first top receivers. And then he played into him the second season with Bo Nix a fairly amount of bit. So to your point, Uzay, when he speak, you got to kind of follow the breadcrumbs. You can take it for what it's worth.
Hey, listen a minute. For all our listeners, we said two things. Number one, watch for the Broncos draft. This is one of the guys that we highlighted. So when those two meet, it's peanut butter and jelly. This is an A-plus pick. Again, if you're the type of guy that's going to maybe grab some pass catches in the early in your rounds and you're trying to find a running back later, this is the guy you should be targeting. If you miss out on Saquon, if you miss out on Bijan, if you miss out on Gibbs, look for this dude because he can have the same. I think he can very well have a top 10 finish. So he could finish an RB1. He's in a perfect spot, perfect offense, the perfect room because there's not a lot of guys there that's going to really challenge him. He can come walk in the door, out the gate, and be the guy. He can catch the ball very well. He just fits the mold, man. So this guy can very well be a RB1 finish, a real big sleeper. You know, guys like myself, I speak on my draft strategy a lot. And, you know, I like to go heavy wide receiver. And this would be the guy I'm looking for on the back end. So once I didn't get all the wide receiver ones on my team, I'm looking for him because I know I can't get the other guy. He'd be the guy that's on my radar first. So in a redraft league, he's probably going to be ranked in a decent spot. And I think you should have your eyes on him for sure.
Well, speaking of guys that have your eyes on when you go a different route than most people in the first few rounds, looking at pass catchers or quarterbacks, Caleb Johnson went to Pittsburgh. And that's a guy that I'm definitely going to have on that list. Look, Pittsburgh don't change. You know what you're getting with Pittsburgh. They brought this guy in to replace Najee Harris, and the beat goes on. Pittsburgh is going to Pittsburgh. It's not going to change. What you thought you were going to get out of Najee Harris before, prior to the injury, and Warren getting a little bit more run based on seeming to have more of a grasp on this particular offense than Harris did or whatever the case may be, look for Caleb Johnson to get the role that they wanted Najee Harris to have had he taken full advantage of said carries. That's kind of how I feel as far as Caleb Johnson is concerned. Rojo, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and this is why it's good to follow the process through and through, because now when you look at Caleb's situation, again, going to what you said about Harbaugh, but Sean Payton, who's somebody who tell it how it is, they didn't waste no time. Mike Tomlin said what it was. The general manager said what it was. Arthur Smith even said it what it was. And to your point, he's going to get this. They said they don't change. But all I will say is that he, to me, Warren is, I'm not saying Warren not good. I think you still take a Warren. But this, to me, he reminds me so much of Le'Veon and his skill sets. He can do it in the pistol. He can do it, you know, in a set formation. It doesn't matter where you get this kid the ball. And now being more familiar with his game, he's much faster than what is. I don't even care what he ran anymore. Just seeing him, you know, over the last few days and over the last week, this kid is fast. This kid, he can do it on, he can catch it. He can run it. He's specialized as a pass catcher. He thrives as a pass catcher. This is a three-down back. Honestly, Warren is still Warren, but this is good value to get him where people are not going to look at him like, oh, Jalen Warren's there. Oh, my God. It don't matter. Like I said, when Mike Thomas speak, he keep it real. Like, honestly, he don't ever front.
And the other piece to consider, too, is I can't recall very many seasons where Warren stayed healthy through the season. So the significant piece to that is, I don't know that another guy would be the next one coming up per se versus Caleb stepping into a bell cow role, which we've seen Pittsburgh do that in the past as well, when they had a running back with a three-down skill set. And as you laid it out there, this guy can catch the ball. So it's a possibility that a month into the season, you may have a bell cow running back that you didn't have to pay up for. So, again, these are the guys that I'm looking for, guys that are in this situation, and these two specifically as it pertains to redraft and, you know, kind of getting those top-notch QBs and wide receivers first when looking at Superflex and two QB leagues, but not being left out in the dark and still having a guy that may be able to perform just as well as the guys that were being picked earlier, as far as running back is concerned. What are your thoughts as far as Johnson is concerned, Vander?
Man, I love it, man. Another one of those situations I spoke about. It's like talking about the key we just talked about, just now, all over again, 2.0.
RJ, yeah.
Perfect landing spot. Also, again, you should be looking for him. These guys are in the redraft league. These guys are ranked in the mid-20s. And they're right beside each other, 24, 25-ish. They shouldn't be that low. He doesn't even have to change jerseys, right? He went to Iowa's black and gold. He's night clip was still black and gold. So he just – and he's one of my favorite guys I was betting on in college as far as yardage and touchdown. I mean, it's a good guy. I'm going to give this an A as well, A minus. I mean, the landing spot is perfect. Good organization. And like you said, he going to get an opportunity to – I think this can really be a running back competition. The difference, I think Anthony going to go in, just be the number two off the gate, and then maybe he could take it. But I really think in training camp, Warren and Caleb, this is a real battle for the position.
Bashaud goes to the Jaguars. We didn't see the Jaguars move ETN or Bigsby. So at this point, we're operating under the assumption that they're going to have a platoon of guys that they could use. He is probably the fastest of the crew. How are we feeling about... Say again?
Ain't no problem.
I mean, well, I was trying to be nice. I mean, but he's a speedster. He's going to be the wheel route guy that just leaks out of the backfield and gets past everybody. Yeah, and they may use him quite a bit as far as special teams is concerned. He does have that ability, too, as far as returning, but how are we feeling about this guy? Is he just going to be a part of the committee? Do we feel like they're still going to be moving somebody? Or how are we looking at this situation?
Man, again, I stress it to the listeners and viewers all the time, man. This is what separates the good from the great as far as fantasy. Paying attention to personnel, paying attention to coaching and coordinators. Look at the Buccaneers team from last year. They drafted Bucky Irvin last year, right? Bucky Irvin was a running back that you don't really see Oregon running backs come in the league and do anything, right? That's just amazing. You see his skill set. So Leon, when I was in Jacksonville, who looks like who on that roster? Who looked like Bucky and who looked like Rashad White? So I think Tutton, or Tutton, or however you want to pronounce it, looks more like Bucky than me. He got more like a Bucky style. So he'll be
5'9", 206, but fast, like very fast. He tied for the quickest 10-yard split in the combine. And I know, Joe, you like to speak.
Yeah, Joe, that's Joe Fenn right there.
You know, yeah.
I think he's the back to own. I mean, of course, I mean, I think ETN may get a crack at it, but he may have a shorter leash because you're not my guy. You're here, you know, I'm here. Right. I still think he could be traded before the season starts, to be honest with you. I think guys like the Bears and teams are still to be watching. You just never know. ETN, I mean, he's on his last year of the contract. Don't be surprised if he is moved somewhere. But I like the fit, the scheme. I don't know what to say about that. I'm all in, fella. I like this move.
How you feel about Tutton, Joe?
Man, talking about value. This is Randy got him for in the last round of the Dynasty draft. You looking at this guy, talking about build, right? Like, even though he's a short guy, this is another guy similar to Harvey where he's built to take on a fairly good workload. I think, honestly, he might not start off as the starter, but you can eventually see him early on in the game getting between, you know, 8 to 16 touches and then that going to up to 20 touches because he's going to bring a dynamic that they haven't seen before. Again, you know, getting more aware of his game, this dude got it from nothing. He was a zero-star recruit who just made it onto the team and then was able to transfer to Virginia and do what he just did. And he had his dog mentality, even in the Senior Bowl. He was showing the explosiveness is, you know, we see it like it's all, you know, you see it on TV, but then when you see it on every level, going to Senior Bowl and then et cetera, this guy's legit. He's angry. He, you know, he plays with a chip on his shoulder in a good way. And again, even though he's a shorter guy, he has the stature and the build to take on a considerable amount of carries. I think he's going to get used fairly, you know, It might take a while. I think ETN get cut. Let me first say, it's a real possibility ETN can legit get cut depending on how well this kid performs. Like, it's all, you know, all for us to follow the news.
Cam Scatable is a New York Giant. Not exactly sure how I feel about this situation, to be honest with you. I like Tracy. They did try to do a few things to shore up the O-line. I just don't know that the Giants are going to be much different than they were last year, to be honest. Cam Scatable is a Swiss Army knife kind of guy. I can see him getting some run at tight end because they don't really have much there. In that position, I can see him getting some run as a running back as well. I can see him getting some run as a quarterback in packages. But I don't know. I don't really have a good feeling on his floor and ceiling as far as this regime and this team is concerned. Vander, why don't you start us out with how you feeling about Scatable?
This is a tricky spot.
Agree, yeah.
Because Scatable, I think he's a great, he's just a football player. I don't know what is that going to look like in his, now if this was somebody like Shanahan or something, I'd be like, okay, he's going to find a way to do something with it.
Shanahan, Harbaugh, yeah.
Kyle Juszczyk or something, he'll do something. But with Dable, I don't know. I mean, Tracy is cool, former wide receiver. He has had issues with holding on to the ball. So I think Scatable can get an opportunity. What he does with the opportunity, I don't know, because it's like, this is the NFL, man. And you're in a division with the Eagles, the Commanders, Cowboys. I mean, this is, I just know what it's going to look like. This is something I would want to stay on the sideline and look at. I'm not going to have him on my team, draft him maybe. I'm just interested to see how it all folds out. But I don't know, man. This is one of those tricky ones. When I can't figure it out, I just stay away from it.
Joe, you feeling the same way or a little bit more optimistic, less optimistic?
No, we ain't optimistic. I'm in the same boat. He a fade. I mean, and it's not, we know he's a great player, but it's just, to me, I don't see a fit. It doesn't, to your point, as well as going to defense-wise, Cowboys don't show up that defensive line. And then, like you said, going down list, Washington, et cetera. I wish he was a different team, but I'm off of him, honestly, just based on the landing spot.
Trevor Etienne goes to the Panthers. Nothing to see here. He's not going to get any playing time. Woody Marks goes to the Texans. This is interesting to me just because of who's in front of him and the fact that the front end of his depth chart is often injured. Mixon gets nicked up quite a bit, stud when he's in the game, but who else is going to be in front of him if Mixon goes down? So that's the only thing that I'm looking at. Pierce may end up getting cut before the season starts. So I think he's going to be the backup to Mixon, which could prove itself to be valuable if Mixon ends up missing a few games here or there, or they try to take some of the wear and tear off of Mixon so he doesn't miss games. So they split the workload, which it seems like that's what they wanted to do between Mixon and Pierce, but Pierce couldn't keep up. So they had to give the full load to Mixon. So he's a guy that, as far as dynasty is concerned, I actually have him on my taxi squad for that very reason. The depth chart, he's the next man up behind a guy that gets hurt. In a position that gets hurt. So I don't know what he'll do with the opportunity. I just think he'll get the opportunity at some point in time this year. So that's kind of why I'm at with him. Anybody else? Actually, there are a couple of guys I'll throw out there. You can speak on them or we can pass. We got DJ Giddings goes to the Colts. Devin Neal goes to the Saints. Damian Martinez goes to Miami. You can speak on all of them or none of them. What are your thoughts?
I messaged Joe today. I tagged him in the chat about Martinez, man. Man, this dude, man, I'll tell you what. I know you thought, hey, we got Kubiak now. I'm going to be the smart guy. And I'm going to trade and get Kendall Walker. And I'm going to get his handcuff and Charbonnet. And boy, I'm going to have a great season. Not so fast, my friend, because Damian in the building. This dude here, man, I'm telling you, don't be surprised if he make a push to push somebody out the way. Not saying Kenneth Walker, but Charbonnet, but don't think he just got that spot locked down as his. Because, again, these style of coaches draft what they like. You can't really pay attention to where he got drafted at, because I thought this was the – everybody say Shador got holds. I think this dude got holds. This dude averaging 4.5 – he averaged 4.5 yards after contact. That's insane. Only second to Jenty. Like, he was number two in college football. 4.5 after contact? That is insane.
6'7", 217 pounds.
And he looked like
2,167 yards, 16 touchdowns, averaging 6.1 yards a carry in two seasons at Oregon. Transferred to Miami, became the first Hurricane running back to rush for more than 1,000 yards in a season since 2016. So, yeah.
If you look at him, the dude looked like, again, don't go crazy with the comp. The boy looked like somewhere between James Conner on the low end and Marshawn Lynch on the high end. That's the kind of build he got. So I don't know. I'm just saying I like this dude, man. I just think he's gonna make a push for somebody. So I think he's somebody good. Definitely, if you got him, you can get him undrafted in your dynasty leagues. Maybe as a taxi guy, but don't be surprised if we in week 10 and you see him in the ball game, because again, Walker is no stranger to injury, and neither is Charbonnet.
Okay. It sounds like you got him. What you want for him in the lead that I got Walker and Charbonnet?
No, I'm just saying.
You got to have him. I'm sure you got him.
Of course I do. But
so what you want for him?
I'm not trying to sell
him. You talked me into it. What you want for him?
I just think this dude, I know this is Joe's team. I just think, man, like, people wasn't really paying attention to him, maybe because of where he got drafted at, but if you look at where he was ranked, this dude was ranked top five on a lot of analyst board at the position. But for some reason, he just fell at the bottom of the draft.
You get trouble or something? I don't remember hearing any reports. Or not. I mean, he went the seventh round.
This draft was kind of strange anyway. And running back was so deep that people kind of got what fits them. But if I ever see a Shanahan or Kubiak, anybody in that realm, when I see them pick running backs, I pay attention. That's all I'm saying.
Moving on over to wide receiver. Actually, Joe, I'm sorry.
Yeah, let's talk it on.
Go ahead and speak on any of, all of, or none of those last running backs.
Just get in. And I think, honestly, this is really for somebody who has Jonathan Taylor. I think Giddens is going to be the running back two in this situation. I mean, obviously, nobody's to play in AT as long as he's healthy. But somebody who is prone to injury, like we all, like, you know, we just said in a similar statement, Giddens is a really good running back, and it's a running back they never had Jonathan Taylor. And that's speaking for Zach Moss, who got his little bread to go to Cincinnati and did nothing. This kid is very explosive, very true. MLB 6 foot, what, 214, like that? This guy disappears in the hole. Like, this guy's really, I like his threat, man. He did really good to improve his draft stock with the 40-44, but he can do everything. Like I said, we know JT getting 80% of the carries, but somebody who's tied to Jonathan Taylor, this is a solid investment. Almost like how we had Christian McCaffrey last year, but we had Jordan Mason. That's similar to that in that effect. There's somebody who's tied to JT to go get this guy. He's a really good back. He's gonna be our running back too, bar none, before even training camp starts.
Moving on over to wide receiver, I thought a few names. You tell me if you like where they landed. T-Mac ends up in Carolina. Carolina's wide receiving core is looking pretty decent on paper. We don't know how that ends up fleshing out in the long run, but I mean, on paper, it's looking like they made a concerted effort to make sure they were going to have someone to throw the ball to and someone to ensure that their quarterback is kept upright and breathing. But we got T-Mac to Carolina. We got Emeka Ibuka ends up in Tampa Bay. Matthew Golden ends up in Green Bay. Joe, why don't you go ahead and start us out with the wide receiver set here?
Yeah, so T-Mac, I know he's a good player, but I'm off him. Like, redraft and dynasty. Honestly, he should improve. I'll pay for him in dynasty, but something just off about his work ethic to me and just how he go about football. Like, even after he got drafted, I forgot who told me this, or if I just saw it on YouTube. Like, him first time meeting Bryce, aside from them doing trainings and stuff, was who had the better fit. Like, this is somebody I already had to worry about how much you like football, how much you want football, and how you, you know, study and things of that nature. Like, and it's not, to me, it's not a team with a premier quarterback. Do I like Bryce? I like him. But when relatively comes to point, I need points. I need fantasy points. Am I going to get that with him in redraft and fantasy early on to meet his ADP? I think he's going to go in the range to where I'm going to have to guess, because the option that's going to be available with active and veteran wide receivers are the better choice. Or I'm just, you know, I think he just gives you too much to ponder over. So going to Ebuka, is this a dynasty thing with Ebuka? It's not the player. This is where it's not the player, it's the team, where I just didn't like the situation. Yeah, Mike Evans on 1 year deal. I think he might step away after the 1 year deal. So that's where my thought goes. So that's why I was like, it's hard to put him there with redraft, because instead of McMillan, and McMillan to me was a darn good player. And I think, you know, that's too many wide receivers for me. And if we know Godwin, that's one thing I say, regardless, he's going to be 100%. Look how he's going to look week one. This guy is going to be out more like, you know, dude's tough as nails. And he came back from other catastrophic injuries and started the regular season. So it's not Ekbuka, it's just the team. For Dynasty, he's definitely worth taking a stab on because of next year. And then lastly, same thing with Matthew Golden. I don't understand Green Bay's philosophy. After you wait to dang Aaron Rodgers leave, you get a Christian Watson in the first round. You get second round Jaden Reed, first round Christian Watson. And then now you come back not too long after that and get another first round pick in Matthew Golden. So I got too much invested in 3 years almost. It's not him, it's the team. I don't want to, there's too many hands in the pot. But then I got Savion Williams from TCU later in the draft, like fourth round pick. It's too many. I don't want part of that offense. So that's my thought.
Ben, how you feeling?
What's the guy Caroline named? I don't know how to pronounce it. Canales?
Yeah, the came from Tampa Bay. Canales, yeah.
Okay, so that's your answer. He came from Tampa Bay. He seen Mike Evans and this guy. That's his idea of him. So do with that as you will. Their wide receiver room is pretty loaded. I thought Leggett was going to be the guy that was going to take the charge this year, but they just bought another guy. And then they brought in another guy. They just signed Hunter Renfro.
Right.
Old man Thielen is still there. They picked up the kid from Colorado, Jimmy Horn. Not sure if he's going to make him, but he's a little stud. And if you get an opportunity, watch out. It's funny. I think Steve Smith, the former Carolina Panther, is really the foundation between when they pick wide receivers. He's the guy they're looking at. Because if you look at his list and their team, his guys are on the team. He picked Coker last year as a sleeper. They picked up Coker, a guy from like Holy Cross or somewhere, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what it is. I'm with Joe when it comes to Golden. I don't get it.
I think this was they've lost all their faith in Christian Watson. I think that's what this move signifies.
That's cool. But Golden, like, he don't give me big dog wide receiver one vibes. He gives me complimentary vibes.
And I think he's going to be the wide receiver two, with Reed being the wide receiver one.
But Reed ain't even a wide receiver one. They got a team full of threes on their team. It's like they got like a team full of three. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't have that one. Like, you see what I'm saying? It don't seem like Golden is like another guy. He's another guy. You got Dobbs. You got, like, they just drafted a slew of wide receivers. My guy, is it Wicks?
Wicks.
Like,
yeah.
He just fits. He's like another one of the guys. There's no alpha in the room, I think, when it comes to the wide receivers, if that makes sense. So it's kind of confusing. At Buka, I give it a C because of the landing spot. I'm trying to figure out, I like the player again. It's not him, because he's one of the guys I was saying, hey, it depends on where he land at. He could be St. Brown. But now I don't know what he's going to be, because now he's in a spot where he's going to compete for targets. Is he going to play in the slot? He's not going to. I doubt he playing in the slot, because Godwin's in the slot.
Oh, yeah. He's playing in the slot for sure.
So where Godwin going to play, on the outside?
Yeah.
No. Ebuka can play on the outside.
Ebuka is not playing on the outside. I can promise you that.
I think he will, because he can.
Nah.
Ebuka is a person that you can move around. Godwin has shown that he is
he not playing on the outside, bro. I promise you.
We'll see, because Godwin has shown that he's not as effective on the outside as he is in the slot. That's been proven already. And Buka has shown he can play anywhere. You can put him anywhere, X, Y, Z, wherever, and he can play it. So I just think that for that reason, I'm kind of, I don't understand it. Maybe this is a more of a future pick. And I think Dynasty, good. Redraft, don't do it. That's basically redraft, don't mess with him. Dynasty, you're going to pay dividends in the future. Not year one, but maybe year two and above. I think you pay dividends when it comes to that hookah.
I think this will be no different than how we saw Jaxon Smith-Njigba in Seattle. Year one was a little bit lackluster. Second year, the offense was focused on him, and he came out of his shell. And then DK was let go, and Lockett was let go. Like it's, I can see a similar type of a path that if he shows up and shows that he's reliable, I can see them letting Godwin go and running with McMillan and Ibuka and letting Evans finish out his career there. So that's just kind of where I am on that one. Next set, Jaden Higgins, Luther Burden, Trey Harris. I like Jaden Higgins taking over where Diggs left off, and with Tank Dell possibly not starting the season healthy. The duo of Higgins and Nico, I like that for C.J. Stroud. And then they got Jalen Noel as well. So they got both Iowa State wide receivers. I can see that providing dividends. I don't know what it'll look like when everyone is healthy or if they're finished with the wide receiver room, but that's kind of where I am on that one. Luther Burden, it's a lot of wide receivers in Chicago. I don't know who's going to be the focal point, but I just don't necessarily want to end up investing too much in the wrong guy and end up with egg on my face. So that's kind of where I am with that. And as far as Trey Harris is concerned, it gives the Chargers a nice little toy, a down the field. He's a prototype to replace Josh Palmer. That's who he is. What now, you got?
I don't like the landing spots on Iowa State boys. I was hoping somewhere better. And maybe the Houston scout love Iowa State players because they had one already there with Hutchinson. Is it Hutchinson? Yeah. That's already there?
Yep. I think it's a tie there for sure.
I love Higgins, man, but I don't know if I love him on this team. I think I may like Noel a little bit better than I like Higgins on this team. Now, initially, I like Higgins better. But on this team, I think he can really command that slot and do some damage. If anybody, C.J. Stroud got the boost, if anybody, it's kind of a packed room over here, wide receiver. So I don't know if I'm going to mess with any of them guys. Trey. I think Trey is Denzel, man. What's the kid that got picked from Carolina?
You said from Carolina?
He's on
Terrence the Russell?
No,
from Carolina, not the Panthers. You're talking about
he's on the Panthers, but he went to Ole Miss about 2 years ago, wide receiver.
I know who you're talking about. No, Dallas got him.
No, it's Mingo. It's Mingo.
Mingo. Yeah.
When I see Trey, that's what I see, Mingo. I don't know. I just think it's going to be another. I used to thought that the Ole Miss receivers was like the sleeper place to go to get you some because of Metcalf and then the other kid that came in after him.
AJ Brown?
It was Metcalf and it was Elijah Moore and AJ. Wasn't AJ Brown?
Yeah. So I was like, damn, this might be this one of the sneaky spots to find you one. But I don't Trey, man, he has the intangibles, but the landing spot ain't as sweet because this is a run first team. So he's gonna get that, Palmer down the field bomb here and there. He's gonna get those plays, but he's gonna make the best of them when he get those. And as far as Burden, I think Burden can actually be pretty good, man. I think he can actually be pretty good.
He can be good too. I just don't know how he's gonna be. I feel about that wide receiver core, how I feel about the Patriots running back.
Yeah, we don't know who's going to get it, but he was picked by who? The new coach, Johnson. So that's saying something. He didn't pick the kid that came in last year from Washington. So he didn't pick him. Yeah, but he picked him. So, and it's funny, like, all these guys are like slot. Who's going to play the slot in Chicago? Because to me, I think
even I think Rome would be the best fit for it. I mean,
I think Burden could be a hell of a slot too. It's like it's like a bunch of slots. Even though DJ Moore can play on the outside, I think he'd be a killer in the slot. It's like you got three slot receivers starting. You know what I'm saying?
His comp is Diggs.
That's a pretty good. I think he can be good. If you're in a redraft league, take a look at this guy because he's gonna go after Odunze and go after DJ Moore. But pay attention to preseason and see if any chemistry is there between him and Caleb Williams. But I think he's a guy that can be a sneaky play in a redraft league for sure.
Yeah, I think all three of these receivers, I think it's not even about the receivers. These are all QB boosts. I think all of these rooms are stacked to where I don't want no parts of it. Because, you like you said, if Tank come back and he healthy, look at the spectrum of the wide receiver room for the Texans. I wouldn't even want – I love Higgins, but Higgins the player, Noel the player. But that offense can't feed the amount of talent that they acquired. So to invest the early round pick in Higgins, and it's like, you know you're going – Nico going to get his regardless off top. And then it's fodder for everybody else. So that's just one situation. Then we got with, what is that, the Chargers, Trey Harris. They already got Mike Williams to come back. They already got Quentin Johnson. They got Landon McConkley there. So now you got Harris. I don't want Harris either. And then what was the last guy? Because that's another QB share. We had Harris. We had our boy. Who the other guy? It's one of the receivers. I don't know if it's two. Oh, Burden. Sorry, I got it. So look at Burden situations. Now we're looking at Burden, Odunze, and DJ Moore. Loveland not to get ahead of anything and co-commit too many mouths. And because again, all these are boosts for the quarterbacks, which is great, but nothing for the receivers that I'd be interested in.
We got Jack Beck, Cal Williams, Isaac Tisla from Arkansas. He ended up in Detroit. Is it? That's what I thought it was at first. Kyle Williams goes to New England, and Jack goes to the Raiders. How you guys feeling about them?
When it comes to Tisla or Tesla, I don't feel nothing because this dude came out of nowhere. Like, who is this dude? Like, he didn't do nothing at Arkansas. He don't have any stats, really, at Arkansas. And, of course, not really great quarterback play down there. At all the offense they ran, he really wasn't used as much, but I'm not even looking. If I see him on the free agency, the wire, I don't have nothing for him. He's just a taxi guy. It may be for you, but not for me. Kyle Williams, man, that dude, I'm telling you, he one on ones for me. I had on my list. I was able to grab him in the dynasty free agent wise because people don't pay attention. Well, they maybe don't dig as deep as we do, but Kyle Williams is. Y'all got one with him. I'm telling you. If you see somebody, he gave Travis Hunter fits. Go look at that tape.
Yeah. Sure did.
Go look at that tape. You know what I'm saying? Good off the ball. I love him. And lastly, what was the receiver you said lastly?
The last one went to the Raiders, Jack Beck. Oh, yeah. From TCU.
Smooth operator, man.
I like him the most as far as looking at talent mixed with landing spot. Because who the Raiders got in the red zone? Obviously, they got Bowers, but
we still have the guy from the
receiver wise.
Y'all still got him from the guy from y'all had from before from the Patriots in the slot. He's still there. He's going
to come. Myers is not a touchdown guy, though.
No. Well, I'm not even talking about the end zone. I just think Beck is. Again, this dude's on the team with Neighbors, and he was on LSU before. A lot of people forget. We spoke about it here. I had him in my top 10. But he was leading the team in catches and all that. When he was on the team with Neighbors in them. So don't get it twisted because he's a fair-skinned guy. The guy's pretty smooth. You know what I'm saying? I like the landing spot. I give it a B+. But he's a guy that I love in Dynasty Leagues for sure. Maybe not so much in a redraft. But in the Dynasty League, I like him, man. He's going to be, I think he could be special.
Yeah. Out of that list, I only like Beck kid from the Raiders. And I think, honestly, he's somebody, as far as redraft, I would go to say I'd be interested in. Because I don't think he's going to get off to the start right off the bat. But I really like him. I think, honestly, I got a good white child with the white child. He reminds me of, like, Jordy Nelson, honestly. This is all serious. Like, when you look at his game, his season he had at TCU, all three phases, he gets it done. So, you know, short, intermediate, and deep passing. Super reliable hands, contested catch across the middle. It's just check, 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 check. He's going to an offense to your point, like, besides the Bowers, then what? So I like Jacoby. We all know Jacoby still get busy, but this is somebody who can win at all three levels, and that's something that these players, for whatever reason on the Raiders, don't want to do consistently, is win at all three levels. And again, the draft capital says it all, get him in the second round, what most people think of him at this point. I think, honestly, he just a redraft take him at ADP, but as far as dynasty, you do have to look at his upside. I think his immediate impact, you got to take him around early, and it's going to be in the second round. Honestly, you have to take him in the second round.
Agreed. Vandy, you know, every year in redraft, I have at least one rookie wide receiver that I stash the whole year no matter what. And by the time playoff time come around, they come to fruition. I don't even know if you're going to have to wait till playoff time for this guy, because they're going to have to use him. So I think he'll pay dividends. Whether or not he'll be a standout, I think he'll be consistent for sure. Tight ends.
Perfectly surprising.
Agreed. We're going to wrap it up with tight ends. And since there are only two that are fantasy relevant, this will be pretty quick. I don't like either. I don't like Tyler Warren's quarterbacks. I don't like the Miles to feed. In Chicago, and I don't think that Loveland will be better than the tight end that they already have. So I don't know what they were doing in the first round going tight end, but that was weird for a team that needs a whole bunch of stuff. And the fact that they picked that tight end over the better tight end was also weird. So that's where I am with the
tight end. I'm not sure if he's the better tight end.
Who?
Commit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
This was a hand-picked tight end, and you see him went early. I'm not worried about the miles of feed, because there's a lot of miles of feed in Detroit, and we still seeing LaPorta do what he did.
We saw LaPorta have a tremendous drop from what he did the previous year, that there were more miles to feed.
But it was miles of feed as rookie as well. So it wasn't like a...
Not nearly as many. Because you got to remember.
What was the difference?
Brown got hurt for several weeks that year, and Jameson was out the whole year. And Jameson was out the whole year.
Nah.
He was.
And also, Johnson plays a lot of 12 personnel. So there's a lot of times there's two tight ends on the field. So Kmet is still probably going to – he's still going to get some love. But I think this guy can be good anyway. And with Warren, I mean, you may not like his quarterback situation, but, hell, he could probably walk in there and be the best pass catcher.
Might be the best pass catcher.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
So I think he can – also pay dividends when it comes to tight ends as well. And don't forget about Arroyo up there in Seattle, man. I think there's some guys that can sneak up on you and do something. He would be one.
I like Seattle's tight end situation already. I like Fant and I like AJ up there in Seattle. But again, as you said, new regime, handpicked. We'll see how it goes. Joe, why don't you go ahead and round us out?
Yeah, man. So when I said that those two was graded similarly and closely, I didn't mean that Loveland would go first. I just said, you know, based on how you could look at it, I saw a reason for both of them, right? But in short, what I'll say is this, because I think you don't get a number 10 pick and then the player behind him matters. Kmet did get a new deal, but that's only if you look at when you break it down, that does a 1-year deal at the end of the day. So they're not in love with him. They don't. That's just a lease at this point. I think you bring a player like him for his skill set, because he's going to do everything that you want. Like, he's the most route savvy, most dependable person. I don't want to compare him to Kelsey. I don't want listeners to think, oh, this is hit up. But when you look at how comfortable Mahomes is with Kelsey, how reliable Kelsey is, this kid's going to find his zone. He's going to be in place to get yards at the catch. He's shorthanded. He's reliable, and he can play in the slot. You put him on the flanker. It doesn't matter. He's somewhat versatile. So I do give him his grace, but I don't think it's going to attribute to anything this year, if it makes sense, with all that's going on in the offense. If it was surprising getting 600 yards, 7 touchdowns, it's great. But in fantasy, that's not all we need as far as productivity, as far as the tight end position. With Warren, on the other hand, I think Warren is going to do tremendously well. I think this is a change of dynamics from what they have Moelle Cox with Grayson, whatever the names were, except, you know, for, you know, forever long time, this is the difference maker. This is the change for this offense. I don't care about the quarterback. I care about what this offense is going to need to get going. These wide receivers do shit. And let's just be frank, like, Pittman's a great player, but Pittman doesn't get utilized to fully, you know, captivate what he's considered, you know, to be good at. He could be Mike Evans if this man, if Sechin was just finally cut the boy loose. This is where you make the difference. This is somebody who's going to win. He's going to be aggressive. He's going to be dominant. He's going to be violent. And they need him. And I think the thing is with this offense is that you don't get behind people because they draft somebody. You get behind the need. And this is what they needed, the tight end position. They tried to give three guys to do the job every season. They rotate three guys. No, this is the one guy that's going to do it. And we've seen him do it at multiple positions. And that's the same thing we're going to get this year. I don't put him in Bowers. I think it's not compare him to Bowers. But if you told me he had, you know, 70 catches, close to 900 yards, and nearly double-digit touchdowns, because he's going to get some running. He's probably going to throw it because he's a former Virginia quarterback. He's going to make it happen. I think there's tremendous upside with Warren. And I would want to take him not early, but take him where he is in ADP because the targets are going to be there. He's going to get 100 targets easily in this offense. They have to start with somebody at this point. These wide receivers are underwhelming. Alec Pierce, Downs, all of them, high-value picks, they haven't done it. So they got to turn the wheel with somebody who's going to get the ball rolling. Similar to what we said Bowers having to do with the Raiders.
And that pretty much wraps it up for this week. We will be back to you on next week, making sure you know everything that you need to know about the wonderful world fantasy. For this week, that does it. Remember, you guys, always tell the truth and nothing but the truth. We out.